Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
We're so glad to have you back with us here at Defined by Moments, and go ahead and get those Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to look at the first 20 or 21 verses of this chapter, and if you were with us in the last episode, you know we covered an entire chapter in the large chunk of another one, as it dealt with the same topic. Well, here today, we're going to look at the advantage that wisdom provides. And these first three verses, they're kind of like a stage setter. Almost imagine as a movie is beginning to play, you have a narrator that's telling the story that provides the context and sets the scene. That's exactly what is taking place here in these first three verses. And notice what Solomon writes. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? The rhetorical questions have an obvious answer that yes, this happens. On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. So this is that first opening scene that lays everything out. In essence, it tells us that wisdom calls to others. It's not just that there's a call that takes place, but there's a focus on where it happens. We see it on the heights. So it's being cried out from the tops of the mountains. It's being cried out at the crossroads where there are many people that are coming by. It's there at the gates, which is that choke point, people going into the town or coming out of the town. And it's those entrances. So wisdom is readily available if you're willing to listen. And then the shift occurs here with verse 4. To you, O men, I will call, and my cry is to the children of man. So we see here that this focus, this phrasing of the children of man, it means that wisdom is available not just to the wealthy. It's not just available to the educated. Wisdom is available to anyone who is willing to listen. Look at verse 5. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Now, yes, wisdom is available to anyone, but Solomon is portraying wisdom really zeroing in on the simple and the fools, those who really don't know better, or those that should know better but are still choosing to go the other way. And what Solomon is saying is you need to learn. You need to show yourself attentive to, not just hear, but heed. Not just listen, but learn. Not just study, but apply. In other words, wisdom is findable. But it goes back to the situation of the heart. Do you want to find wisdom? And we get that in what Solomon's thesis was, again, back in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So he has laid this out, but then in verses 6 through 9, we start to get a series of adjectives that describe his teaching. Verse 6, he says, "For I will speak noble things." The Hebrew term there for noble references a leader, a prince, someone that is a ruler. That's where that aspect of noble comes, the nobility. Someone that is above, that is one in front. That's what wisdom is. That's what this teaching is. It's in front of us. Verse 6 continues, "And from my lips will come what is right, what is even, what is straight." You know, it's one of those aspects. I have this rocking chair in my home that was given to me by my grandmother that you can see the saplings that were soaked in water and then they were bent. It's one piece, but they were bent and shaped in order to form the frame of that chair. That is not what wisdom does. Wisdom in this teaching here does what is right. It is straight and it is even. But he continues with verse 7, "For my mouth will utter truth. It will speak the things that are sure, that are stable, that you can count on every single day, every single time." That's wisdom. But he then continues, "Wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Now that's an interesting statement because now we get to the obverse. in verse 8, all the words of my mouth are righteous. The phrasing here is that they are just weights and measures. Now that sounds odd to us, but in this time frame, if you were really trying to make some additional money, you would have weights that weren't honest to goodness true. So think about when you go to the gas station. You will see a sticker on the gas pump that says this was certified by so-and-so. In other words, that sticker is to give you the assurance that when it says that you pumped a gallon of gas into your vehicle, that truly a gallon of gas entered your vehicle. So if I was going to buy something from you, and it was going to be based upon the weight, in this Jewish culture at the time, those that cheated would have something that would weigh, like in our terminology, a pound, but really it would say that it weighed a pound, but it did not, and it would be in my favor, so that I would actually be giving you less money, but acquiring your goods that I could then turn around and sell at a better price. So in other words, wisdom, this teaching that Solomon given is righteous. It is just weights. It is just measures. There's no cheating. Then we see in this verse 10, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than gold. Why is that important? Well, we back up to verse 9, for all are straight to him who understands. It's that aspect of integrity and being straightforward. So we see that merges. But if we have all of these things, if all of this is true of wisdom, then it gets to the value that we just saw in verse 10. Why verse 11 is explicitly clear. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. And quite frankly, you almost see a restatement of that in verses 19 through 21, where my fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. So in other words, all the possessions in the world matter not if you're a fool. Yet, if you have such small possessions of the world and you have wisdom, you have the advantage. You have what is truly of important value. Now, in the latter part of this section, from verses 12 through 21, we see how wisdom is paired with good sense. Now, what does that mean? Wisdom is that application of knowledge, and good sense is how it presents with discernment that others will be able to see. Look at verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and perverted speech I hate. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is following the teaching that Solomon has talked about. And how do you see that in good sense, and how do you see that in discernment? Because there's a hatred of evil. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, then the fear of the Lord translates itself into specific actions, and you see that you despise evil, that pride and arrogance, those are the things that you stay away from. You hate them. They make you sick. Why? Because you are committed to wisdom. Folks, I'm going to say something now and we'll come back to this towards the end, but make sure you understand that the closer you are to God, the better your relationship with the Almighty Creator of the universe, who sent His Son to redeem you and to redeem me from our sin, the better your relationship with Him, the more wise you will become. Not because of some grand scheme that you have figured out, but because you will see life through His eyes. And you will understand that God's Word has the principles that we need to live a life that glorifies Him. So we see fearing the Lord leads to hating evil. That's pairing wisdom and good sense. Verse 14. Solomon says, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. Well, where does strength come from? It comes from wisdom. If you are always, you know, getting out and acting the fool, and you're speaking before you know information, and then you have to go back and, you know, take that information back, and there's embarrassment, people are going to look at you and they're not going to trust you. You lose your power. You lose your strength. But the way that you have it is through the insight. So that's wisdom and that's discernment that are being paired together. Look at verses 15 and 16. By me, what is me? That's wisdom. So by wisdom, kings reign. And rulers decree what is just. By me, there's wisdom again, princes rule. And nobles all who govern justly. So, you know, I've said before that how we live determines how we lead. If we are committed to wisdom in our life, then that wisdom will show forth itself in our leadership. But very clearly here, a statement is being made that our leaders need wisdom. If you are in a position of leadership in your church, in your home, in your company, wherever you may be within your community, you need wisdom. And where do you get that wisdom? We're going to talk about that in depth in our next episode because we have some tremendous information here that Solomon gives us, that Paul even references in the New Testament. But that wisdom goes back to the lens that Solomon put out there in the first chapter. It's the fear of the Lord. If there is no fear of the Lord, if there is no trust for God's word, then wisdom is not wisdom. It's the fool's gold version. It appears to be wisdom, but it is not. So what we see here is strength comes from wisdom. That's wisdom being paired with discernment. What the belief is translates itself into a behavior. Look at verses 6, or what we just read, verses 15 and 16. But look at verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Now let's stop. Wisdom says, those that love me, those that love wisdom, I in turn love as return, as a back payment. No, payment's the wrong word. It's reciprocation. That's what I'm going for. And then it says, and those who seek diligently will find me. If you were to see me, I'm sitting here in my studio recording. I just took my wedding ring off. It is an endless circle. So that is a symbol of my love for my wife. There's no beginning and there's no end. It just continually goes in that circle. My love for her, her love for me. It's that reciprocation, and guess what? That's the same thing with wisdom. If you love wisdom and you seek wisdom, wisdom's going to love you right back because it's going to protect your life. And it is going to give you what you need in order to glorify God. Verse 18 continues. It says, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Now, hold on. We need to stop right here. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is not saying that you can tell God, I have faith in you, and therefore, God, you will give me what I want. That is not what this is teaching. What this is teaching is those that are wise are more likely to achieve a reward than those who are foolish. Here's an example. If I know that I have a budget, a family budget of X amount of dollars, well, if I continually go over that budget and I'm not paying my bills, that's me not living wisely. I'm living foolishly. And then ultimately that gets me behind. I accrue additional interest. I have things that I wanted that I lose, like my power could be turned off. So wisdom prevents that. Foolishness encourages that. But on the heels of this verse where it talks about how riches and honor are with wisdom, but notice what it says in verse 19, my fruit, the end result of wisdom is better than gold. Yes, you may be smart financially. Yes, you may accrue, you know, a sizable fortune, but the end result is better than gold. The yield of wisdom is better than choice, the best kind of silver. Verse 20, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. So Solomon is laying out here. There are multiple adjectives of wisdom, but you will always see wisdom paired with discernment, which is good sense. What you believe shows with how you behave. The biggest takeaway that you and I have from this section, I mean, we see that wisdom is calling out to others. Wisdom is findable if you want it. True wisdom will then lead to different actions. So I will summarize it with this statement. Your choices create your circumstances. So if you're not happy with your life right now, don't blame others. Don't blame God. Look in the mirror. If you do not have the influence that you used to at work, Don't blame some positional moves at work. Look in the mirror and see, are you no longer acting in wisdom? Have you done something that has compromised your integrity? We in this world love to blame others. We love to justify actions. We love to pass the responsibility. But I cannot give you wisdom. That is something that you have to acquire on your own through a relationship with God. That where does that relationship come from? Your choice. Your choices create your circumstances. If you don't have wisdom like you wish you did, then you can change that. Because wisdom is findable. But you need to make the choices in order to get to the circumstances that you want. I will wrap this up with this one verse. Again, let's go back to verse 4 here of chapter 8. To you, O men, I call. Wisdom is calling to us. And my cry is to the children of man. What will you do with wisdom? Your choice creates your circumstances. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.